You are listening to the Catholic Exchange Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Catholic Exchange Podcast. This is Michael Litchens, your faithful editor and host, here with you this week to talk about what I consider one of the greatest American Catholics of all time, Father Augustus Tolton. If you've been on Catholic Exchange before, you may have read about him. He is often regarded as the first black priest in America. Really, I could spend all day talking about his story. He's an amazingly inspiring person, but we have someone better to talk about it. Today's guest is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He's a fellow Oregonian from the Pacific Northwest, where he braves and challenges people with a pro-Catholic message everywhere he goes. He speaks all over the world. He's a radio co-host, and it's a joy to have him here. So, Deacon Harold, thank you so much for joining us here on the Catholic Exchange Podcast.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Absolutely our pleasure. And to start us off, what first attracted you to the great Father Tolton?
Well, when I was in seventh grade, which was the age of confirmation in my parish growing up in New Jersey, we were one of the few black families there. And so when I was looking for a confirmation saint, I wanted to look for someone that looked like me. So back then, of course, before the internet, you had to go to the library and look through a card catalog and all of that. And during my search, I came across the book that was released in the early 70s by Sister Carolyn Hemesath called From Slave to Priest. And the book had been out of print, but the library had a copy of one, and I'd never heard of him before. And So I looked at the book and read through it, and I was like, wow. You know, he wasn't a saint, so I couldn't use him for my confirmation name, but that was my first introduction to him and to his life. And so I always kind of tucked him away in the back of my mind. And back in 2005, Ignatius Press bought the rights to the book From Slave to Priest and reprinted it in a brand new edition, and asked me to write the foreword to that new edition of his book, of his biography by Sister Hemesath, which I was honored to do. And then that was kind of the launch. And then when EWTN Publishing approached me about writing a book, the first thing I thought was, well, I want to do something on Father Tolton. Now, of course, there was already a book about his life, so I wanted to do a book, Lessons We Can Learn from His Life, kind of the legacy of Father Augustus Tolton and the lessons that we in our society today can learn from his life based on the challenges and things that he had to go through during his time back in the late 19th century.
Right, and from my understanding, among his challenges, he couldn't actually attend seminary in the United States. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's correct. He was rejected by every seminary in the United States. When his family escaped, well, his father escaped first to the Underground Railroad to fight the Civil War and died early on in the war. And his mother escaped with his brother and sister through the Underground Railroad to Quincy, Illinois. And they attempted to, because they were Catholics, and they wanted to go to church, and the priests and the nuns welcomed them, but it was the parishioners who rejected them. And they finally found the church where the priest had enough guts to let them stay and didn't yield to the pressure of the parishioners. And then one priest thought that he had a vocation. So along with the nuns, they you know, worked with him and trained him, because he also had to work in a factory to help keep his family afloat along with his mom in a tobacco factory. And so so he was going to school part-time and working kind of full-time. And but when he got old enough and they felt his training was to a point where he could go to seminary, the priest helped him to apply to every seminary in the United States, and every single one rejected him because he was black, every single one. So he ended up going to Rome.
Wow.
Because at that time, Rome, the seminary in Rome, the Urbanum Propagandum Fidei, as it was called, it was a seminary designed for men from countries that didn't have seminaries. So back in those days, in the 1800s, say there was a priest from Ghana or a man from Ghana that, you know, that wanted to be a priest. There was no seminaries in Ghana, so they would send him to this seminary in the Vatican, train him, ordain him a priest, then send him back so he can serve in his country. And so that was the school that Augustus Tolton went to. And he went there, he trained, ordained to be a priest, and they sent him back to Quincy, Illinois, back to the town, quite frankly, that had rejected him, and to the country that had rejected him. I mean, he went back as the first black priest.
From my understanding, it was almost a Palm Sunday, where at first he was celebrated when he was welcomed, and then a reminder of the segregation happened again.
Yeah, he had a tremendous experience in Rome. He loved it. It was the first place he's ever been where it just totally accepted him and welcomed him with open arms. There's no racism, no racial prejudice. He really reveled in that. What he thought was, because he was at this particular seminary, that they were going to send him to another country that didn't have priests. So he thought he was going to be a missionary priest somewhere.
Oh.
But then when the assignment came and he heard he was going back to Quincy, he was very sullen. In fact, he went to the Adoration Chapel there in Rome and just kind of just poured his heart. He goes, why, you know, take this cup from me, kind of a agony in the garden experience. But then also, just like in the agony in the garden, in his prayer, you know, he just received from the Holy Spirit, you know, this is God's will. And so he began to accept it. And in fact, okay, this is where I'm going to go. This is where I'm going to serve. This is where God wants me to be. Okay, I love and accept his will. And he went back willingly. In fact, he stopped off first and said his first mass in the United States was actually at a hospital in Hoboken, New Jersey, because the nuns who had worked with him as a little boy and training, because he spoke, by the time he got to seminary, he spoke fluent German.
Wow.
And was pretty good in Latin. And of course, his Latin got better, and he also learned French when he was in the Vatican as well. So the man spoke multiple languages and said his first mass for the sisters in New Jersey, and then his first mass in New York City, first Sunday mass, solemn mass in New York City, and then went back to Quincy and started in a parish there. And it was almost the opposite this time. You know, the parishioners welcomed him. Even he welcomed white, black, didn't matter. Everybody was welcome in his parish on Sunday. But it was the priests this time who were prejudiced against him, and even told the white parishioners that they went to his parish on Sunday, didn't count for the Sunday obligation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we've alluded to it before, but
it got so bad, though, that he couldn't serve there anymore because
really
the blacks, Catholics didn't have any money and really couldn't help to support and sustain the parish. No matter, he tried to do catechesis, he tried to do everything he could to help, but it was really the white parishioners who were sustaining him. But when they pulled back after the backlash from the priests, from the white priests, and then of course he had no support from the bishop there, he ended up going to Chicago. The Archbishop Feehan at that time welcomed him with open arms and basically gave him the full run there of serving the black Catholic community there in Chicago. And so he left and went to Chicago, and sadly died very early. He's born in 1854, died in 1897, so he's only 43 years old. Died of heat stroke, uremia, which is a complication from heat stroke. And he just basically worked himself to death. It's very sad and tragic, but, you know, glad to tell the story of this amazing priest.
Absolutely. What do you think are some lessons that contemporary Catholics can learn from Augustus Tolton and his really heroic struggle?
Well, what I did in the book, for those people who are not familiar with Augustus Tolton, I gave a short biography.
Yes.
In the first chapter, which is just basically a summary of the Sister Hemisath book, From Slave to Priest. So if people want a full scope of his life, they can look at the Sister Hemisath book. But then I in the other chapters, I talked about overcoming racism. I go on to talk about building strong families, the power of prayer, a culture of life. And the meaning of human suffering and freedom in God's mercy. And then in the epilogue of the book, I talk about his journey toward sainthood and where the process is right now. And so I thought those topics would be great to discuss and break open in the book, looking at it through the lens of Augustus Tolton and how he dealt with these issues during his time, which I believe with tremendous heroic virtue.
Agreed.
Which could definitely serve as a model for how we can respond to the same issues today.
That I imagine Father Tolton had to really struggle with forgiveness and mercy coming back to America and realizing that people hate him for no reason, no real reason when we're at it. Even from a historical perspective, there's just no real reason. Did he talk about forgiveness and mercy?
Yeah, and so sadly, there's not a lot of writings
sure
by Father Tolton, and no one obviously at that time was thinking about, wow, one day he might be a saint. Let's keep all this stuff, you know. So he didn't keep much of his written homilies, or he also went and when he was in Chicago, he went around the country giving talks, which he didn't like to do, but he did it to raise money for the church he was building, which was called St. Monica's. It never did get built, sadly. Even after his death, they tried, the people tried to keep the effort going. Mm-hmm. And he even solicited funds from St. Catherine Drexel.
Wow.
So besides those letters and things like that, and we do get some insights into his, his writings and his correspondence with his mother and things like that. We do see him talking about the situation and his letters to the Vatican. We also see him, how he responds to the situation. He always responded with charity, and obviously in his actions as well, responded with charity, responded with tremendous grace, mm-hmm. And not with anger and not with vitriol and not with spite or hatred. So he took Jesus' admonition seriously, which says love your enemies, you know, and I think that's a beautiful model for how we can overcome racism today. And I think the key was the way he saw the image and likeness of God in everyone that he met.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like, you know, a precursor to Saint Teresa of Calcutta. You know, that's what made her so incredibly such a tremendous blessing to so many, such an incredible inspiration, was the people that no one wanted to be around, in a sense, the quote-unquote throwaway people.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she looked at someone, she saw Jesus, and the same was very true of Augustus Tolton. When he looked at another person, no matter what color, what race they were, what their religion was even, he always tried to see Jesus in that person. He never gave up hope. He always saw tremendous hope for the future for every single person, especially obviously in the Black community, dealing with the effects of the racism and the segregation system and the poverty and the drinking and the effects on the family. He just wanted to immerse himself in that. And to show them that, you know, and you would think that, you know, the big question I have with the racism is, why did he stay in the Catholic Church?
Seriously.
I mean, if people say, well, wow, why did this guy stay? Because he and that's a great lesson he could teach us today with all the problems going on in the church today. We have people that are leaving mm-hmm. the church, the abuse scandals and things like that. But Augustus Tolton, you know, he said that the church is our mother and our teacher, that what she teaches is true and good and beautiful, despite the people in the church who are not living up to the tenets and the teaching of the church that they're supposed to be exemplars of. So he saw past the people in the church who are sinners in need of God's mercy, like we all are, and was able to focus on the teachings. And that's what he based his life on focusing on Jesus and focusing on the teachings of the church and not the people.
Beautifully said. And Father Tolton was also just talking about the racism and the oppression he had to feel, but he was also part of the initial Black Catholic Congress, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's right. Daniel Rudd, who was a Black Catholic activist, had the first Black Catholic Congress in Baltimore, and you know, Augustus Tolton obviously was invited there and gave a speech, which is, I think, the longest writing we have of his, a speech that he gave there. And of course, he said mass, and I just can't imagine the Black Catholics felt so honored and so proud to have one of their own, you know, as a priest and be able to celebrate mass and to administer the sacraments and to serve the community in the way that he did, with the grace that he did. You know, it's just an incredible inspiration. And so I'm so glad that his cause for sainthood is moving forward. And, and hopefully through this book, people will be able to connect their lives more deeply to his. You know, because I do talk about some very practical things that we can do. And one of the things that I thought was unique in my approach, because I said I just didn't want to do another book telling his story.
Absolutely.
But so I add some things that we can do in our culture today, some very practical, hands-on, real-world things that we can do inspired by the spirit of Augustus Tolton. And also at the end of every chapter, I have something called a biblical parable. It's basically that's on the topic of that chapter that's inspired by the life of Augustus Tolton. So these are actual homilies that I've given. And some of them, of course, I've expanded because, you know, it's for a book. But these homilies were, I had Father Tolton in mind when I gave these homilies over the years. And so I thought, you know, it'd be great to incorporate those homilies into the book as a way of showing how a man like Augustus Tolton can inspire even clergy today, priests and deacons, to be able to preach the truth in love with charity, with conviction, but with the fullness of the truth.
Yes. His cause for canonization has been opened by the Diocese of Chicago. Can you talk a little bit about where that is right now and how the cause was open?
Bishop Perry, who was an auxiliary bishop, one of the African-American bishops there, was the one who came forward and proposed the cause for canonization for Augustus Tolton. Cardinal George was in complete agreement, and so there's a diocesan phase where information is gathered and collected and compiled in what's called a posito, which is the document that goes off officially to the Vatican for them to evaluate. And so back in 2011, Francis Cardinal George officially opened the cause for canonization with an official pronouncement. And then it took a while to get all that compiled, send it off to Rome. And then about a year later, the Sacred Congregation for the Causes of Saints granted servant of God status to Father Augustus Tolton and ordered the Archdiocese of Chicago to proceed with the diocesan inquiry into his life and values. Mm-hmm. That investigation took several years into 2014. And that was sent off to the Vatican, and so in 2015, the Vatican declared the validity of the Archdiocesan inquiry. In other words, they said, yes, we can affirm and attest that what was sent to us is true and valid, clearing the way for his cause to proceed forward. And in 2016, his body was exhumed. You know, after he died in Chicago, but his body was taken back to Quincy, Illinois. He was buried in the priest cemetery, St. Peter's Cemetery in Quincy. So there was a local medical examiner, forensic and anthropological specialists were brought in to investigate his body to make sure, obviously, first of all, it was actually him. And they took relics at that time. Should his cause move forward, they took relics. And the report was sent back to the Vatican. And then in 2018, in March of 2018, the Cause for Saints reviewed all of the documentation and voted overwhelmingly for his cause to move forward. So now they're waiting for a miracle. I know that there's a couple that have been submitted to the Congregation for the Cause of Saints. And so they're evaluating those miracles. And obviously that takes a while. Once if they're able to determine that, yes, this is a miracle, a healing that has no medical solution or how the healing happened. And if the Holy Father then approves it, he can move forward for beatification. Mm. Then he'd be blessed, Augustus Tolton. And after a second miracle, hopefully one day, We can call him St. Augustus Tolton.
And I look forward to that day. It sounds like people are already asking for his miraculous intercession.
Yes, there are people that are asking for his intercession. And in fact, that's how the first couple of miracles that are being evaluated right now occurred. People, you know, obviously people in the Chicago area, and when the book was re-released in 2005 by Ignatius Press, you know, more people found out about him. And now there's a website that the Archdiocese of Chicago has set up. And so more and more people are starting to find out about him and asking for his intercession. You know, in fact, Bishop Perry has been asking people to pray and ask for his intercession. So that this cause continue to move forward, and hopefully one of these miracles will be approved. So it's wonderful. I'm very excited to be part of it. I played some small part. They did reach out to me about helping to compile information for the information that went to the Vatican.
Oh,
and yes, yeah, so I was very honored to be asked to be part of that effort. So hopefully, you know, if he gets to be beatified, hopefully I can be in Rome when that happens.
I hope everybody from the United States can, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm going through your book right now, but as far as I'm concerned, Father Tolton might be one of the most inspiring figures of the 19th century United States, but bar none. That's my
opinion. That's awesome.
In asking Father Tolton's intercession, what can we as lay Catholics spread across the world? How can we start to begin to ask his intercession?
One of the things that Bishop Perry did was that they have a prayer, like a prayer card that has a prayer specifically asking for Augustus Tolton's intercession. So there is an official prayer, if you will, asking for that intercession. So if you go to the website that the Archdiocese has set up for that cause, people can get the prayer there, and there's prayer cards and things like that as well. So, I mean, this is a tremendous effort. And so the website for people, in case they're interested, is Tolton canonization.org. So Tolton, Tolton, canonization, all one word, .org. And that'll take them to the site, and they can see, and if they go under prayer, they can see the prayer there that was written, that people asking for the intercession for Father Tolton.
Absolutely. We'll put those links on our show notes and on CatholicExchange.com. Going back to your research, because you've been researching Father Tolton for so long and have had a great opportunity to do so, what for you has been the most inspiring or grace-filled thing you learned while researching about him?
Well, there's so many things.
I know.
Yeah, so for me, I think the connection with family. You know, back in those days, it was extremely hard for black families to stay together, obviously with slavery, and families were separated. But then all the things they had to deal with as well because of the effects of racism and segregation. And just how he was able to help other people. I mean, instead of feeling sorry for himself and his situation, he worked hard to help build strong families, because he even saw back then that if you have a strong family, you have a strong church. If you have a strong church, you have a strong culture. And so he spent a lot of time working directly with families to help bring them up. He thought that if they had a strong faith in that family, then that would be a huge stepping stone for them to improve the situation that they found themselves in, and to really move forward in God's grace with the sacraments, to be able to give hope to their family and to their children, you know. And that was very inspiring to me. And so, you know, looking at that beautiful lens, and again, how his mother actually encouraged him as well, even after his father's death. His mother kept his father's memory alive. She used to tell him the things his father said, especially before he left to go fight in the war to free his family so they could have a better future and a better life. And his mother continually told him and his sister, because his older brother actually died. He was a sickly child and eventually passed away at a young age when they were still quite young. After arriving, not too long after arriving in Quincy, and so the inspiration and the relationship between him and his mother, I thought was very beautiful as well, and actually reminded me of my own relationship with my mother. You know? And even without the dad present in the home, which is sadly the case of so many African American families today, you know, we have statistically over 70% of black children are born out of wedlock in the United States today, you know, which is sad and tragic. And I think young men can be inspired by the life of Augustus Tolton to incorporate his vision and his values and his way of approaching life to counter the lies of the culture, the throwaway mentality, the effects of the sexual revolution, and using each other as objects for pleasure gratification and pornography and all of that. And so I spent a lot of time talking about building strong families. And again, practical, real world, hands-on things that parents can do to instill virtuous behavior into their children. And that can become part of the daily life of the family. Again, all this inspired by the life of Augustus Tolton. So I think a lot of people will not just learn about Tolton, but be able to integrate his spirit into the life of their own family and into their own children. And so that's something I definitely was thinking about as I was writing this.
What was Father Tolton's impact in the 19th century versus now? What is the main difference?
Well, I think now people can appreciate the work he was able to accomplish given the situation he found himself in. Mm-hmm. I think people just didn't really appreciate him very much at the time, and just saw him as an anomaly, you know, saw him as a quote unquote one-off, you know, because they'd never seen anybody like him before. And, you know, and despite all his setbacks and not getting the support that he really deserved, and there was still a lot of racism even within the church itself, in the sense that, you know, not just the overt racism because of color, but also holding back financial resources and support as well. You know, and even from people within the church. I mean, when he was a youth, when he was going to church, some of the parishioners in the churches that they tried to go to would say things like, you know, Father, we're going to pull our children out of Catholic school if they continue to worship here. You know, Father, we're going to stop giving financially. Father, we're going to leave the Catholic faith if you allow them to continue to worship here in this parish. Things like that.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
Imagine you're a young child and you're hearing this over and over and over again. And you're wondering to yourself, what are we doing here? You know, why are we continually coming to these churches? Yeah. And this is the reception that we're getting. Even when they end up going to church, of course, they had to sit in the back of the church or sit in the balcony of the church. They couldn't sit with the white people. The one bold priest, Father McGurk, actually allowed Augustus Tolton to serve at the altar as an altar boy, which no other church would even allow him to do because he was black. At some point, they tolerated him and his family going to church, but to allow him to serve at the altar was a different story. But this priest did, you know, and I think it was there serving at the altar and receiving the sacraments, especially after his first communion, where he literally felt this longing, this burning, almost a physical sensation in his heart about the possibility of becoming a priest. And when he approached the pastor about it, the pastor got very excited and thought that, yeah, this kid has something, you know. And so that's beautiful when other people in your life, despite your circumstances, can not just motivate you and not just inspire you, but people like that can really help you to become the person that God created you to be. You know, when somebody can see something in you and believe in you when you don't even believe in yourself, you know, and there's a biblical parallel to that in the sense that when God called Samuel, the young Samuel was in the tent with the priest Eli, you know, in 1 Samuel, God calls him, Samuel, Samuel. Now, Samuel gets up because he thinks Eli is calling him because he doesn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And so twice he goes to Eli, did you call me? You call me. He's like, no, what are you talking about? Go back to sleep. And then finally, Eli, the third time, Eli says, wait a minute. The Lord must be calling the boy. And so Eli teaches the young Samuel how to respond to the voice of the Lord calling him. You know, and then so the next time the Lord calls, he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's very much like that with Augustus Tolton as well. You know, the priest that actually helped him, not just Father McGurr, but the other priest that came along after he left, because obviously, you know, priests change. And so the other priests that came in were willing to help him with his philosophy and theological studies, with his human formation as they prepared him for admission to the seminary. All of these priests helped, and the sisters, of course, helped him and believed in him. When many times he didn't believe in himself, many times he felt like giving up, because, you know, especially when the first overtures were made to the seminaries and they all rejected him, he just felt completely deflated. But the priests did not give up. And it was through the efforts of one of those priests who kind of went through a back door. He was a Franciscan, and he wrote the head of the Franciscan order in Rome, told him the story of Augustus Tolton, told him what happened in the seminary situation. And the head of the Franciscans went to the cardinal prefect of the Vatican Seminary. And that's how he was able to get in. Once they understood the complete situation, they accepted him, but they never gave up. And there was a time in his life where he just felt this is never going to happen. And he was depressed. You know, he was really depressed and sad, and his mom kept praying for him and told him, don't give up. God has a plan for you. If he wants you to be a priest, you're going to be a priest. And the priest gave him the same encouragement. And when he was finally accepted, there was so much joy there. And he finally realized that through all of this trial and all this and all the pain and all the suffering, you know, out of the Good Friday, you know, comes this Easter Sunday moment of joy. You know, and so again, you have young men today and young women who are being raised in families with no dads around because the dads have bought into the lie of the culture, who, you know, who are daddies, but they're not fathers, you know. And so, yeah, you can go one of two ways. You can say I'm a product of my environment and, you know, this is just the way things are and I'm just going to have to accept this, or. You can follow the inspiration of Augustus Tolton and allow people to come into your life who are going to inspire you and challenge you and move you to be more than you ever thought you can be. As long as you stay strong in your faith with God, develop an active and dynamic prayer life, and cooperate with the grace of the sacraments, then Augustus Tolton teaches us that everything is possible.
That he does. And I'm really blown away by the parallels I'm seeing between Augustine and Monica. I just see this man baptized after Augustine, and the prayers of his mother seem to really help him persevere. And it's hard to appreciate that heroism, because I know I want to leave my parish every time they play Gather Us In, and he was dealing with real, real things. I'm not sure if that parallel's been noted before, but it is an interesting one.
Yeah, and I do talk about his mother, both in the chapter on building strong families, where I talk about motherhood, and, you know, I talk about fathers and mothers. So I talk about his dad, and I talk about his mom and the influence they had in his life, but also in the section on the power of prayer. You know, his mother was a very strong influence on him. I mean, he heard his mother praying. He saw his mother praying. He saw how much his mom trusted in the Lord and trusted in the Blessed Mother. And that, I think that played a huge role. It had a huge impact in his development of his spirituality, you know, through the witness of his mom. I think very much, again, as you said, with Augustine the great Saint Augustine and his mother Monica, who constantly prayed for her son, you know. And I think what I also wanted to try to bring out was the power of a woman's prayer. You know, yes. Women are, you know, incredible prayer warriors. I know my mom was for me.
Mine too.
Yeah, huge influence. And in fact, I think it was her. I mean, I remember still kneeling. Me and my sister was still an infant, but me and my two brothers, my mom kneeling us down, and I mean, she would stand behind us and she would say, "Our Father," we had to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy," and teaching us our prayers. You know, on our knees, and then "Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be to the Father, and Angel of God," you know, every night, you know, and until we can do the prayers ourselves, you know, and then we went to Mass, how reverent my mom was and how prayerful she was. And, you know, she couldn't sing. She tried to sing, but but she made a joyful noise for the Lord. And I'll never forget her witness and example. And she worked as an emergency room. She started in an emergency room, but ended up in a career in the cardiac care unit at a hospital. She was a nurse. And many times she went to work at night. She worked the graveyard shift, you know, that's back in the day when nurses wore the white uniforms, the starched white uniforms with the hat and the white stockings and the white shoes. And I remember many times she went to work with runs in her stockings and holes in her shoes because we needed stuff. Oh. You know, and I remember the long hours, how tired, even though she was tired, that she would still find the energy to drive us to the movies or to do, you know, it was just just things, they burn into your memory, you know. Yeah. And it really inspired and motivated. How hard she worked inspired me to work hard in high school, and I ended up becoming the first person in my family ever to go to college. And when I graduated from Notre Dame, and I had that degree in my hand, the first person I ran to was my mom. Oh. You know. And she was in crying, and she was so proud, and she was in tears, and it was a beautiful moment that I'll never forget. And I can't help but think that all the things that I'm accomplishing in my life right now, obviously I'm doing it because it's God's will for my life, but also in a sense to make my mom proud, you know, to show my mom that all that work and all that effort is bearing tremendous fruit, all the seeds and the tears that she watered the seeds of her life with over all those years, including a tumultuous marriage with my dad. They ended up getting divorced and all the things that my dad put her through, and to see the fruits of it now in my life and the life of my siblings. You know, I can't help but think that she's tremendously proud, and as well she should be, but also grateful to God that she was able to persevere through all of that. And her seed, literally sown from her body, is bearing tremendous fruit in the world today. So I'm incredibly blessed and grateful. In fact, one of the things that I did was kind of a little creative touch because, you know, obviously Augustine Tolton's mother outlived him. He died while his mother was still alive. But what I did was, and again, a kind of a imaginative piece in the book, I imagine that what Father Tolton's homily would have been like at his mother's funeral.
Oh,
you know, what would he have said about her? And quite frankly, I based that on the homily I gave at my mother's funeral. You know, because I was very much thinking about after my mom died, and I was preparing the homily for a funeral, was very much thinking about Augustus Tolton and his relationship with his mother, as I was reflecting on the life, my life with my mom, you know. So I just wanted to take that piece and kind of maybe incorporate a little bit and just kind of think, show the closeness of the relationship between a mother and her son, you know. So that's probably one of my favorite parts of the book.
Yes, and that's a very lovely part of the book that I've been able to get through. And I won't ruin it for any readers, but just get the book. Trust me, you'll have some tissues near you, but also be amazed at so many of the lessons Father Tolton can teach us. And our penultimate question, Deacon Harold, I know you've talked about Father Tolton and given homilies about him. What is something that people tend to notice or tend to be inspired by when they first hear of Father Tolton?
Well, I think they're surprised that he's the first black priest, that he was born a slave. And in fact, on his birth certificate, it says Augustus John Tolton, property of Stephen Elliott. Property. So I said, wait a minute. This guy's born in slavery. His mother escapes with him and his brother and sister through the Underground Railroad. They're getting shot at as they're sailing their boat across the river, and bullets are whizzing past them in the boat to get to the other side of the river, the Illinois, to freedom. You know, and just, I mean, how, it's just an incredible story. So I think people are just shocked and surprised at everything he had to overcome to get to become a priest. And how many times, you know, we want to give up. We want to give up on a hope. We want to give up on a dream. No, that can never happen to me. Or no, I can never get past this. No, I'm just a product of my past, of my upbringing. And I think what Father Augustine teaches us, I think what really helps and inspires people is the fact that, yes, your past helps shape you into the person you are today, but your past does not determine your future. You know, and he shows that again, and the power of other people and the role they can play in your life when you allow people to come in and to share your story. You know, often we hear this thing, oh, I'm a self-made person, or I did this myself. Well, no, it's not about you. I mean, the culture worships the Trinity, me, myself, and I. You know, but the God that we worship manifests himself as a family, as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. St. Paul talks about it as being part of the body of Christ. And so we see that that along his journey that there were people all along the way that supported him. And the same has to be true for us. We cannot do that. And look, even Jesus needed help carrying his cross.
Yes.
Right? I mean, so if Jesus even needed help with his struggles at the end of his life, imagine us going through life that we can't do this by ourselves. We need people in our lives that are going to love us and support us. And so when people were able to see he's working in a tobacco factory in very unhealthy conditions, but yet he's going to school and he never gave up. He never gave up on his dream. Even at that time, he got rejected by the seminaries, and then he tried some other things to get in, and it just nothing was working. And he just like, maybe it isn't God's will for me to be a priest. And he just started getting like significantly sad and depressed. And his mother tried to encourage him stuff. And just at the very bottom, and God's light began to shine through. You know, he wasn't a prodigal son, but not by any means. But in that prodigal son story, I think the beautiful part is when the son finally turns back, you know, and he's able to finally to trust God. And then we see in that story, like when he was still a long way off, the father caught sight of him, which means what? The father was looking for him the whole time. You know, the father never stopped looking for his son. You know, and even though Father Augustine Tolton's father died, I would think that his father was interceding for him, for his son, and for his family, that he did so well while he was the short time he was with them on earth, but even more so before the throne of God. And so I would think that his prayers would also help in that situation as well. So I think people are just surprised by the amount of adversity he had to come through. And I think they leave thinking, wow, man, if he could do it, I can do it. If he can get through that at that time in this country's history, it gives hope for people, not only in their own families, but for our country as well. We can get past all the hatred and all the vitriol that we're seeing in our culture right now. You can't even have a decent conversation with somebody you disagree with now without offending them. You know, we're not in a good place, in our culture, society right now. And I think this book is hitting at the right time. So I think people reading it can be inspired to overcome their differences and to really bring our families and bring our church and bring this country together.
And that is exactly what we need right now. And well, we're almost out of time, Deacon Harold. For anyone who wants to learn more about you, maybe see where you're going to be doing some speaking events, where can they learn about you?
Yeah, the easiest place is just go to my website. I made it very easy for everybody, deaconharold.com.
Yes.
In fact, I noticed that I was just looking through the end of the book, that prayer for intercession for Tulsa. I actually have it in the book.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on the next to the very last page, because what I do at the end, I said, let's pray for the canonization. So I included the canonization prayer right in the book. And it specifically asks for his intercession. You know, Father Tulsa, your servant, Father Tulsa, by granting, if it be your will, O God, glorify your servant, Father Tulsa, by granting the favor I now request through his intercession. And you can mention your requests there. So the entire prayer is right there in the book. So
even
yeah,
just easier.
Easiest place is Deacon Harold, all one word, deaconharold.com. So you can see all my social media. I have tons of articles and interviews. This interview will be posted there in the audio section of the website. I have tons of free downloads. I have a store where people can buy CDs, DVDs, and have access to all four books that I've written as well. And they can see my schedule. They can see the topics I talk on. So I think that's the place to go to find out more about me and the work that I'm doing for the Lord.
Perfect. And I'll put all those links as well as links to everything we talked about today. There's a lot of resources I'm going to put on CatholicExchange.com when this lovely interview comes out. So all of you who are listening, go to CatholicExchange.com or DeaconHarold.com. You can find all the information. I do highly recommend Deacon Harold's latest book, Father Augustus Tolton. He's written many books, but this one will be the most inspiring book you'll read this year, bar none. And with that, Deacon Harold, I just want to say thank you so much for doing the incredible work you've done on Father Tolton and really championing his cause. It's really, really wonderful to have someone so inspiring and so heroic to look up to, and you've helped us to learn about him, so thank you so much for that.
Yeah, you're most welcome. It's my prayer that people will be just as inspired by his life that I am, but more importantly, to be able to incorporate his spirituality into their own lives, into their own families, and that would be my prayer, that people we'll be able to do that, so we can really become the people who God created and calls us to be.
And for all of you listening, if you have any questions for me or would like some more information that I didn't get to, email me, editor@CatholicExchange.com. I'm always willing to hear some questions. And with that, God love you all. Have a wonderful week.